I now have 7 o'clock. According to my clock, this one's a little bit off. All right. So I will now call this regular session of council to order this day, Tuesday, June 16, 2026. Roll call.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
Here.
Carrie Meek.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here.
Please stand and join me in the Lord's Prayer. Remain standing for the pledge. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, good evening, everybody. We have a rather light agenda, so let's move on to approval of council minutes from a public hearing and regular session on June 2nd, 2026. Any comments or corrections? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Anyone else? All right. May I have a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
The minutes are approved as presented. Any pending old business? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
No, sir.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None from myself. Correspondence this evening?
We have none.
Okay. All right, next up we have our state representative, Gary Click, from District 88. Mr. Click.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, City Council. I brought a little something with me. I'm going to get to that in just a moment.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you for your service to the community. And I got to raise that just a little bit. But I want to talk to you about just a couple things. Number one, just a young man, we were just talking about him before council meeting, Sam Greenslade from this area. And Sam was struggling because the school was not able to offer soccer for a couple of years. And they tried to get this through HSAA a couple times to say, okay, if your school doesn't offer your sport, you can petition a neighboring school to participate in their sports. And it was very close all the time, but there was just slightly more who voted against it than voted for it. And so he petitioned me. He wrote to me at the State House and said, this doesn't seem to be fair. Private schools, which I participated in, and Mr. Brown's participated in as well, students in the private schools can petition to play in a public school if their school doesn't offer the support. And in fact, we had one year, we had a young lady from our school who played hockey at Fremont Ross. She was pretty good, too. But you couldn't do that if your school didn't have that sport. And so that doesn't seem fair. And I agreed with him, it didn't seem fair. So we wrote a bill that said you can petition the other a neighboring school. Both superintendents have to agree to this. So it's not an automatic. They have to petition. And it's got to be a neighboring school. You can't just go pick any school you want to. It has to start with a school within your district if there's more than one, and then a neighboring school to participate in. And I wanted to name it after Sam, so we worked real hard to come up with an acronym. So it's the Student Athletic Mobility Act, or the SAM Act. And so we put that through the legislature, and we had I gave testimony to Angie King, who's another state legislator. She was having the same issues in her community. And so she was my joint sponsor. And then we had a lot of people that just wrote in saying, I've got this problem too, I've got this too, and we're running into this. And our kids, some people were feeling like they had to pick up and move to a whole new community just so their kids could have athletic opportunities. That just didn't seem right to us. So we had all the votes. But the problem is we're running out of time, and we really wanted to be wanted this to be effective for this coming school year. And so we had a bill that came over from the Senate, House Bill 276, with Senator Christina Rogner, and it was in the Education Committee. We said, can we amend this into your bill? Because once it goes through the House, Then it has to go over to the Senate and start the whole same process and the committee hearings and this, that, and the other thing. Whereas if we amended it into a Senate bill, and then we sent it back to the Senate, all of a sudden it had to do was to concur on the floor. And she said yes, and so we amended it into her bill, and we passed it on the House and passed it on the floor, and it will be effective in this next school year so that students can petition to play in another school. Or if we have two schools that just neither school is large enough to have a team, but together they could form a team, they can do that. And that actually just came from some experience that we had in our own Christian schools, because the school from the church where I used to pastor and Harvest Temple both combined for sports to make one team out of two small Christian schools. And I thought that model would be good for public schools as well. And so they can do, as of the school year, they'll be able to do that. And that just creates more opportunities for students. As I often say, I sit on the education committee, and my motto is that I want every student to succeed everywhere. I support school choice. I support our public schools. We gave over half $1 billion more money to our public schools in this last year. And I've worked together with the committee to do things that are good for all of our schools, because we do want every student to succeed everywhere. And then we just wrapped up the capital budget. We did it a little differently this year. Usually what happens is the governor sends a budget to us. We look at that. We tweak that a little bit. But then we also receive the request from our home districts, and we put them in the House bill, and we pass it from the House, and then we send it over to the Senate, and the Senate takes and adds their stuff. They take out some of our stuff, and then we yell and cry and scream about it, and they send it back to us, and then we always vote no on their version so that it goes to a conference committee, and then we hash out the differences between the House version and the Senate version. This year is more streamlined, and by the way, we have to pass this by June 30th, and I've been there June 30th before. In fact, one time we actually had to pass a bill that night to extend our deadline, because we weren't going to make the deadline. So we had to pass a bill to extend the deadline, get the governor to sign it so it was effective so that we could do it a day late. But this time, the House and the Senate, they just worked together on the bill. They negotiated ahead of time so that we both chambers submitted the same thing, and we're done early. And the good news is that you submitted a request for $125,000 for a nature walking trail, and we were able to secure that in the budget, and so I have this check here for you today. I would recommend not taking this one to the bank, because there's another one that is coming, but I just wanted you to see and know that I advocated for you, and we've got this, and this is going to be great for the future here in Clyde, Ohio. And Mayor, if you'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to get a picture with you with this check.
Not the most photogenic in the world, but I like standing next to $125,000.
I didn't figure you'd object to that. I could leave it. I could take it back out. Just put it in there we go. Anyone else that wants in here is fine, or doesn't want in, it's fine for me.
Join us.
Oh, Zach wants to be on the background.
No, they always clear out.
I'm getting anyways.
I'm not elected.
Thank you for your service, and if anyone has any questions for me while I'm here, I don't know everything, but I'm happy to entertain a couple questions if you would like me here.
Well, on the line of the nature trail, we're gaining ground on it. We're gaining finances for that. I mean, this is a project that will come together in the future, but every little bit goes towards this. It's a great vision that Justin LeBen has for this, and we appreciate your efforts in getting this through. So thank you.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay. God bless you all.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wish to address council this evening? Yes, sir.
Mr. Lever here. I live on South Main Street, and I'm retired, so I can sit on my porch a lot, and I just notice all this traffic just buzzing by past 35 miles an hour. I even notice walking up here, people are just speeding into town, coming in through the town and stuff. And I don't see any cops. They're always on the highway. Even I've seen a couple cops speeding past my house, and there are no lights on or nothing. And e-bikes and stuff are going past the sidewalks, past our house, speeding up really fast, and it's like we seem to have to do something about this. They were presenting the law this week to DeWine to sign for having bikes and golf carts, like just regular traffic stuff. But we do have a problem on South Main. These people, I witnessed two cars passing on a yellow light, on a yellow line, right past my house. I mean, it's supposed to go down to 25, past my house, but nobody follows the rules, and it's getting to be a problem. We have kids playing out front, and you know, especially even in the park, there's supposed to, there's an ordinance for walking your bike and stuff through town on the sidewalk. I don't know if anybody heard that, but I'm old, and I do. Even in the park, they're supposed to walk their bikes, and they don't. My wife witnesses with their e-bikes riding around the town and stuff. So we got to do something about this, or just, you know, you can swear me in as a cop, and I'll sit in my driveway, and I'll pull them over, you know. Just give me a ticket thing, and I'll pull them over in a badge. But it's getting to the point they're going so fast, because it's like 35 all the way down to Limerick, and they're speeding. I see them take off. If they're behind a car that's turning, they'll take off like a bat out of hell. You know, I've seen a couple of motorcycles do that, too. But it happens every year, every time I'm sitting on my porch and stuff. And I love sitting on my porch and seeing people go by and stuff. But I don't know what you guys can do about it. But, you know, even the cops, like I said, are speeding by. You know, I see them go to your house. You know, yours is 25. They don't even put it on the brakes. I'm watching on my porch, watching all these people. They're going past my house, and nobody puts their brakes on when they get to town. Nobody. So I don't know whether or not the council can do something about this. But it's, you know, we have kids. I have grandkids playing out front. You never know. So I don't know.
So we actually spoke about this before the meeting. So e-bikes are a hot topic around the state. I'm going to answer
right.
Two parts to your question, cars and bikes separately. So I spoke to one of our officers. They're dealing with the prosecutor's office. I don't prosecute at all. I'm a city civil attorney. But they are pursuing ways to enforce that because there's two issues here. One is not only what they're doing on these bikes, but the fact that some of these bikes don't fit the criteria for e-bikes.
Right.
There are some legal definitions that come into play on what counts as like an electric dirt bike or an e-bike. And like all technology, I think legislatures and local communities and cops are wrestling with what's what. You can't visually tell the difference sometimes. So there are some people riding around in town who are riding things that really would be considered dirt bikes. And
right.
That would invoke certain licensing and age requirements and helmets and whatnot. So they're going to address that. And I think you're going to see a change this summer from our police
right.
on that.
Well, I don't know if DeWine signed that petition or not.
And, well, that's another thing. People are waiting on that. Now, as to the vehicles, that, you know, we can only set the speed limits, but I can tell you that if Justin and Sierra do the same thing, that our police chief will know that a citizen showed up and made this complaint, mm-hmm. and our police chief will talk to people appropriately. What they'll do exactly, obviously, is different, but they'll certainly hear that about it because that's an enforcement issue more than a policy issue. But the e-bikes, I think, are something that's on Justin's radar. It's been on my radar. The police have it on their radar. We're figuring out what can be done and what legislation will have to pass, if any. Like always, we'd like to defer to Columbus because we want to have laws similar to other communities so it's not a nightmare to enforce. But, it takes a while. Government's slow to respond to technology. They always are. So working on that part. I think you'll see changes this summer.
Well, I hope so. Like I said, they don't look at the speed signs, mm-hmm. and they just fly by my house all the time. And that's right. You know, just give me a radar gun, and I'll, you know, make pictures of them and stuff, and that way I'll have proof that these people are speeding past the house, past 35, all the way down to Limerick. It is 35 all the way down to Limerick. So yeah, and I guess that's what I'm complaining about tonight. So, you know, if there's anything we can do about it, fine. If not, I'll just have to, you know, make sure the kids aren't playing by the sidewalks, because I remember one time a car lost its wheel and it hit the lady's lamppost next to me. If somebody was standing there, it would have killed them. It was flying through the air. For some reason, it fell off a car or something. And that was years ago, but it could happen again. So, yeah. Okay?
Yep. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't leave now, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Talk about me, right?
If we do, you can listen to the recording.
Yeah.
Anyone else this evening?
All right, let's move on then. Do we have no first reading of ordinances this evening? No second readings? Move on to resolutions. So would you please assign a number and read the first resolution.
Resolution number 2026-49, authorizing the establishment of the Clyde Nature Trail Project Fund for the receipt and accumulation of grants, gifts, donations, transfers, allocations, and other lawfully available monies for the Clyde Nature Trail Project. Whereas the City of Clyde is undertaking the Clyde Nature Trail Project, the project, consisting of the planning, design, engineering, acquisition, construction, improvement, equipping, and furnishing of a public nature trail and related trailhead facilities, amenities, and improvements within the city. And whereas the project is anticipated to be financed from multiple sources over one or more fiscal years, including federal, state, county, local, and private grants, gifts, donations, and bequests, transfers and advances from other funds of the city, allocations and appropriations of this council, and other lawfully available monies. And whereas this council finds and determines that the establishment of a dedicated capital project fund for the project will promote sound fiscal management, ensure compliance with grant and donor restrictions, and provide transparent accounting of all project revenue and expenditures. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio. Section 1, there is hereby established a capital projects fund of the city to be designated the Clyde Nature Trail Project Fund, the fund, fund number 203, for the purpose of accumulating resources for the planning, design, engineering, acquisition, construction, improvement, equipping, and furnishing of the Clyde Nature Trail Project. Section 2, there shall be credited to the fund, federal, state, county, local, and private foundation grants awarded to or received by the city for the projects. I'm sorry, that was 1. 2, gifts, donations, bequests, and contributions from individuals, businesses, and organizations. 3, transfers and advances from the general fund or other funds from the city made in accordance with sections 5705.14 through 5705.16 of the Ohio Revised Code. 4, allocations and appropriations made by this council for the project. 5, proceeds of sponsorships, naming opportunities, and fundraising activities conducted for the benefit of the project. 6, interest and other investment earnings attributable to the fund to the extent allocated to the fund in ordinance with law, in accordance with law. And 7, any other monies lawfully available to the city and designated for the project. Section 3, monies credited to the fund shall be used solely for the cost of the project, including without limitation planning, design, engineering, surveying, environmental review, real property and easement acquisition, site preparation, construction, paving, drainage, lighting, signage, wayfinding, landscaping, trailhead and related amenities, equipment, professional and administrative services, and all other costs incidental thereto, and shall not be expended for any other purposes consistent with Section 5705.10 of the Ohio Revised Code. Any monies received subject to grant or donor restrictions shall be held, accounted for, and expended in accordance with such restrictions. Section 4, money may be accumulated in the fund for a period not to exceed 10 years in accordance with Section 5705.13b of the Ohio Revised Code. Upon completion of the project or upon earlier termination of the fund by this council, any unexpended balance remaining in the fund shall be transferred or otherwise disposed of in accordance with applicable law and, with respect to any restricted monies, in accordance with the terms of the applicable grant, gift, or donation.
Okay, you've heard the reading of this resolution, so comments on it. Frank, I'll defer to you because...
No, just for this, we have created the fund, it's ready for money to be received. So, okay.
Comments, anyone? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
Okay, and none for myself. Anyone else? May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-49?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Shea, second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. Resolution 2026-49 has been adopted.
Frank, I had a quick one on this.
Yes.
The 50 grand we already got from ODNR,
yes, sir.
We already got that, right?
Yes,
and
we did.
And spent it?
Yes.
So
and I will
not...
explain that
okay.
Here in just a few moments.
Okay, I was just curious about it because yeah. I remember reading that contract and it had
yes.
plenty of rules on it.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Next resolution.
Resolution number 2026-50, making certain supplemental appropriations, interfund transfers, and intrafund transfers to appropriations during the fiscal year of 2026. Be resolved by the Council of City of Clyde, State of Ohio, it is hereby determined to make supplemental appropriations, interfund transfers, and intrafund transfers to appropriations as set forth in the attached tables, and they are hereby expressly authorized.
Okay, you've heard the reading of Resolution 2026-50. Comments?
Okay, with this, this was to address the $49,000 that we received initially having a line for the Nature Trail project in the general fund before we created the next one. But we have this transfer because of a permanent improvement fronted the cost for the clearing of the Nature Trail. So basically what we are doing is taking this, repaying permanent improvement for the cost that they had fronted. So that's where we are. And that total cost for that clearing was $52,500, of which we're putting right now $49,000 back in.
Okay. Any comments or questions? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
None for myself. Anyone else?
And just for reference, that was okayed per Resolution 2025-77. So.
Okay. May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-50?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-50 has been adopted. That's it for legislation this evening. Administrative report?
The only thing I had to report, and I don't know if you were going to address this, Mayor McCauley, but Justin did have the opportunity to meet with some potential buyers of the Evergreen. Property today, and it sounds like a good situation, and it's not hedge funds, it's nobody fronting for somebody else, so that was all he had given me to report.
Have we gotten any bills paid?
I've got that in my report. Perfect. Would you like me to proceed with that now, though?
No, I was okay. Curious because the Evergreen thing came up, and I know we had...
Yes.
I've been on some email chains about it, but I haven't seen a receipt.
Yes. And I wish I did, too.
Okay.
Well, then you're up next.
All right. So, first of all, we'll get the ugly over first. You see the fund balances for May 2026. And this, honestly, Council, is when everything hit the fan and receipts were being put in, reversed. And as I looked forward, they are catching up in July for what happened last year. So... a little skewed, but I did want to still give you your monthly report, and many of you will remember everything we went through last year. So those will be catching up to truer fashion. The requested items to conclude the 2024 audit have been submitted. I did get an email from the Auditor of State today. They're ready to proceed with finishing that up, and we're going to have a phone conversation here in the next couple days. As I gave you in your report, looking at options for streamlining payroll, vacations have started in the department, had AC unit. They were serviced, but there were some problems. So now they're cool in the back and in the break room, and just minor fixes that need to take place in the building. In regards to Evergreen and the Green Bridge situation, we've received no money. Last week I was asked to provide ACH instructions for them, ACH and or wire. I provided that to them. I did check as of today at 4 o'clock, nothing had come into the bank. I spoke with Mr. LeBen today, so I will be sending a letter off to Greenbridge giving them until June 26th to pay, or else they'll be in the dark. So a date had to be set. First, I'll address Evergreen. They're still at the 1.652389 that they owe us, and this is for their electric bills, as well as they have past due for their solids and discharge is what it's called, basically their sewer bill. So a little over $1,652,000.
And to clarify with counsel, we've told you we have a lien. I'm sorry, it's not a lien. It is an assessment on their property. That's not for that amount because we had to get the assessment out right away for fear of them doing things that would make it harder to assess. So
correct.
The actual assessment is 1.5.
I thought it was 1.5.
It's less is the point. So if you ever wonder why that gap exists, it's because once we knew they weren't paying and got behind, we could only assess them for what they were behind on, even though we knew the rest was coming, and we didn't want to wait and assess it for all of them on the off chance that they went bankrupt or took actions, and then we couldn't assess them for any of it. So that's a kind of a tactical decision we had to make.
Okay. And then we'll move to the Greenbridge situation, of which we have received no payment for their large industrial use electric. They owe $414,735.66. That's just for their March and April bills. And as of June 26th billing, they will owe for, in addition, they'll owe for May. And then the June bill, by the time, if they don't pay, that we turn them off, the June will not be billed until July 24th. That's always a month behind. So if we get nothing from them, we could end up with 4 months of not pay, and that takes us closer to $1 million from them. Okay. So
not a good situation.
Not a good situation, but I did, in speaking with Mr. LeBen today, he said, we'll put a hard date on to it. Basically, I'm taking them to the end of their next billing cycle, and with the holiday this week, I had to give a little bit of allowance there to get some money.
Yeah. I think there has to be an end.
Yes.
An end to this. I've said this before. We just can't continue to be an unsecured creditor.
Exactly.
Or for industry or for anyone for that matter. You know, I look at this balance of, you know, close to $10 million that we're off in our electric fund. I mean, that's alarming.
Yeah.
You know, we're carrying only slightly over a $2 million budget. Which we're
and just so you know, that will be increased because of the receding problem. So,
okay.
Mayor, that is a little bit, that is less than that far of a spread. So,
but I remember,
but
I
not a lot,
say,
not a lot, yes.
Our expenses for the first 3 months of the year
have
were
went
significant.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
And our utility costs.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So it's just... It is just a rolling ball of bad luck going on, unfortunately, with between power cost and delinquency.
Okay. I'm glad to hear at least we have a plan going forward. We have a two-week plan. We have to shut this down at some point.
Yes, sir.
So, any comments, Mrs. Mead?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
Has Whirlpool paid their bill yet?
They have not. Patty is in constant contact with them as well. I had it wrote down and I left it over there. I think that was around $36,000. But I have no doubt that will be paid at some point, but they went to a third-party payment system, and as I said before, they can't figure out how to pay it.
But they're not accruing more bills. It's just
no, no, it is this one little tag-along out there that...
Are there late fees or anything on that task, or that's
no.
Just a flat?
It's just
okay.
A flat.
Okay. Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I understand the process of shutting them off if they continue not paying, but realistically, from a realistic standpoint, what's our recourse as far as getting those funds?
So, I'll defer that to the solicitor.
I will tell you at our next executive session, I'll go into it in more detail.
Okay.
Because we would be allowed to, as it could involve potential litigation. But generally speaking, we are allowed to assess, but we have limits on assessment, how often you can do it. Okay. And one of the issues is right now the city's position is that Evergreen and Greenbridge are the same entity.
Correct.
Okay. And we have assessed evergreen. And if we were to assess Greenbridge, then an argument could be made that we've chosen to treat them as separate entities, and that argument could be thrown in our face later. So in general, though, we can assess delinquent utilities, but under very strict rules, only so often. I think we can only put an assessment on a property once a year. There's an argument to be made you could do it again if the property changed hands, but it hasn't. We also always have civil remedies. We don't go file lawsuits against the people who stiffed their landlord for the $160 electric bill because it's not worth it. We can't, you know, even in small claims, you'd have filing fees of something, and you'd be sending good money after bad. So there's a certain amount where it's just not worth it. It's why we don't file lawsuits for $20 in my normal course of business. However, this is worth it. So, litigation's not off the table. Realistically, we would – if they're going to go under and go bankrupt, which is still possible, then we get in line and we end up getting pennies on the dollar or maybe half of what we're owed. Maybe, we don't know yet. But whether there's – the civil litigation could involve suing different parties, and we don't know yet who those parties are, so that's why I'm hesitant to get into too much. But we do have options, and those three options mainly are assess it, which we've done to protect some of our debt, sue them, which we'll only do if we think it's going to be worth the time, cost, and likelihood of success, or get in line if they go bankrupt and just get what we can. Those are probably the three realistic options.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Then let me add another question to that. Then how does this assessment work on a potential sale of the property?
So the difference between a lien and an assessment is a lien, such as your mortgage or your tax lien or whatever, has to get paid for a transfer to take place or for refinancing or for anything else. They have to deal with that. An assessment would get added to taxes, but realistically what would happen is if they sell it to ABC Properties, Joe Smith Properties, whatever, make up a name, that person is going to do a title search, and they're going to have a title company say, these are all the issues with that title. And that title company is going to say, you don't want to buy this. There's a $1.5 million in real estate taxes owed on it. Because if you take ownership of that, you're assuming that.
Okay.
This happened a decade ago or so before Frank, maybe 9 years ago. I'm staring at my 10-year service award. So I was a solicitor then, but we assessed delinquent utilities. And what happened is person A owned a rental, and their tenants got behind on their electric, and we were going to assess $500 or $600, whatever it was. Well, person B sold that rental. Person A sold that rental to person B. Then person B came to us and said, hey, what the heck? My taxes just got assessed for a delinquent utility bill from before I owned it. And at the time, I think it's still true, we were allowed to do that because we're assessing the property regardless of who the owner is. So what will happen with this assessment is, from a practical standpoint, whoever goes to buy this will force Evergreen to pay it off or settle it up. And I think that could trigger something where Evergreen comes to some combination of Frank, Justin, and I and says, hey, we owe this much, we have this much, what are you going to give us? But by doing what we did, we're more protected in bankruptcy proceedings, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anything else?
All I have.
Okay. Just one other thing is that I talked with Justin today, and he was with prospective buyers. There's others looking at it. Everything's been very transparent. They're very aware of the assessment on the property. But he said he had a good feeling. They're very positive of what they can do with that. So let's just hope that gets resurrected in some way, shape, or form.
And I know at least one buyer is in the similar field.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a few interested. It's too good a piece of property, and we have too good a power rates for that to stay empty for too long.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Before we go into council remarks this evening, is any need for a work session on June 23rd? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I do not.
Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
And I do not. Mr. Wiesner?
No.
Okay, so there will not be a work session on June the 23rd. Council remarks this evening. Mrs. Meek?
The only thing I want to say is, in regards to the e-bikes,
down at the park. I know I've been really harassed in the park, but that's because I'm there all the time right now. But they're really riding the bikes through those parks right now. And I watched a little kid get hit flat on with an e-bike or whatever type it was. And the little kid was hurt kind of good. So, you know, I do want to add on to that because it is a bad problem up at the park for sure.
Yeah. Mr. Browning.
Yeah, both things, I guess, on Mr. Lover's comments. I mean, I live on a street, too. I'll break them up both. I don't see the police speeding by my house. However, daily, I mean, I'm a front porch sitter myself, and the traffic and the cars, they're going well over 35, 40 miles an hour because I go right down to Route 20. And when you come up by my house, I'm like two houses up from Route 20, and they're at least 40 miles an hour when they hit my house alone. I have small children. You know, I have cousins, family, friends. They're outside all day, every day. And to spin off to that, I am a big technology e-bike. All my kids have them as well. I don't allow them to ride in the street because of that. Because of, you know, I would rather, honestly, take a ticket all day than have them get struck by a car. I mean, let's be real. However, now when I do ride around town with my daughter on our e-bikes, we do follow the law. We are in the street, you know, things of that nature. But I don't really know where that accountability comes from. I'm not saying police are not doing their job at all whatsoever by sitting and, you know, monitoring the traffic on my street alone. But it's, I don't know what we really expect of them either after that. Because, I mean, I know we've had other initiatives, too, on ticketing individuals, parking, you know, parking in their grass or their front yards. And that was heavy. I mean, I was there. I saw it. They went up and down my street. They ticketed almost everyone. That lasted about, I don't know, a month, 2 months. It's back to how it was. I mean, the same. So, I mean, yeah, if you want to post a police officer on my street, that's fine, but I don't think that's the answer. Or even have them patrol up and down by your house and Mr. Lever's house, that's also fine, but I just don't think that's the answer because I really don't know what you expect of them to always be there every single time. It just, that doesn't make sense. I don't know what the answer could be, but that's my 2 cents. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. McMaster.
I don't have anything to add.
Mr. Shea.
Just piggybacking on that topic about the speeding, I think everybody would agree that speeding in general with all vehicles is a problem just throughout the whole city and the county. I don't know. I don't think there's any particular streets that see more speeding than any other street. I see a lot of speeding on Church Street where I live, but I know for a fact there's a lot of speeding on South Main. I can't think of a particular road, maybe a dead-end street that doesn't have speeding problems. Some of those on council may remember that I think it was a couple years ago maybe, Justin introduced the idea of bringing like speed ramps. That's not so much speed bumps, but there's a thing called a speed ramp. And unfortunately, I don't think he received the support from council that he could have or should have gotten, myself included. And that's certainly something we as a council now can possibly revisit. For those who may not know, speed ramp's a little less jarring, a little less aggressive than a speed bump, but it does curb, no pun intended, the speeding down. And obviously it's not fiscally feasible to install those in all the streets, but we could certainly find the parts of town that are the worst offenders and maybe reevaluate that because it's not going to get any better. I think just in general, drivers are much more impatient than they used to be, much more in a hurry to get places. And I think it's a propensity for accidents. As far as enforcement, I would like to see Clyde Police Department write more tickets. That's come up before, too, and supposedly there's studies on that. I don't know. I can't speak for the studies, but I would just like. I personally believe that ticketing somebody is a motivating factor. I know when I see that red and blue light slide up behind my car, it's a motivating factor. But so I don't know if that's a possibility, but I'd like to see that done. But that's all I have. Thank you.
I mean, I support what Tom Lepper has to say. I was a person when Dan Weaver was a city manager standing in the same place complaining about it. I've talked to Justin about it. I'm a front porch sitter living right on Main Street USA, which is Racetrack USA. The semis that come into town, boy, they come flying. You know, I support our police officers. They have a rough thing to do, but I would also, I rarely, if ever, see anyone pulled over on Main Street. And they put a speed indicator in front of my house last summer. And what it did is some of them look at it, okay, how fast can I get, how fast can I go and get it registered? It just became a game. I still slow down when I go into Castalia, and they don't have a police officer, but for years you really watched it. Monroeville you do, and you definitely do in Woodville, mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not saying that we turn into those communities, but I think we need to address it in some way. I don't know what the answer to it is. 9 out of 10 vehicles that pass my house are over the speed limit, and I'm probably one of them that does it too, because subconsciously I'm just, what do we have, a half-mile space between lights, you know, and it's just you build up speed. Kids crossing from Cherry Street Park, crossing Main Street, whatever, it's an issue. And it is. So how to address it, we're going to leave that up to those who are higher up on the pay scale. Okay? So we received a resignation letter from Jim Wilson from the Planning Commission. Jim has served on the Planning Commission for decades, I believe. So I want to thank Jim for all his time and efforts and listening through a lot of controversial issues and all this and helping guide through that over time. I did address the evergreen. Other than that, that's all I have this evening. So any motions, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
None for me.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
Okay. I move that this meeting be adjourned.
Second.
And second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
We are now adjourned.